in the scripture that Jonathan read for us, and as we look at the teaching of Jesus, one thing that I think is one of Jesus' outstanding qualities as the Son of God is his sheer honesty. His sheer honesty. I was reminded of Mark's account of Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. And he's asked this most important question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus points him back to the commandments of the law. And mentioning several of them, the rich young ruler responds, well, I've kept all of these since I was a youth. What do I lack? In Mark's account, it says Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He loved him. He loved this rich young ruler. No doubt he wanted this rich young ruler to follow him. But Jesus saw idolatry in his heart, and so he had to tell him the truth. And he said, one thing you lack. Go and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. If you really want to follow me, and Jesus does want him to follow him, this is what you must do. And Jesus loved him so much that he told him something that would be hard for him to hear and hard to accept. In fact, he didn't accept it. He went away sorrowful, for he had many, many possessions. Jesus is completely honest when it comes to following him. He lays it out for the disciples many times, and even in this beatitude, the last of the Beatitudes, if you want to follow me, this is what you can expect. But we've got to remember this as well. Jesus did not come to make life easy. He came to make men great. He came to make people great. And greatness doesn't come about until we've endured difficulty, even persecution. So he's completely honest in saying, this is what you can expect if you're going to follow me. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And some of these statements, I'm sure, if not all of them, seem to be catch the ear of those who heard them. And even as we study them today, as really? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, who would think to put those two things in the same sentence? How can we be blessed? How can we have true abiding joy while being persecuted? But as we study this, we see, number one, that persecution is inevitable. Jesus did not want persecution to be a surprise to his followers. He wanted them to be prepared for it. Here's another statement of Jesus' sheer honesty to his disciples. He told his apostles, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So he says, this is the way it is. If you're going to follow me, this is what you can expect. If they're persecuting me, you can expect to be persecuted as well. But notice what Jesus was not doing or saying here. I don't believe he was trying to give his disciples a persecution complex. I don't think he was trying to make them paranoid about being persecuted wherever they went. He was simply stating the fact that a faithful child of God cannot avoid persecution. It's going to come with following Jesus. Nor was Jesus suggesting that being persecuted is infallible proof that one is God approved. Just because you're being persecuted doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the right thing, that you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some have thought, well, I'm being persecuted, so that proves I'm God's anointed. But I want you to see this. Jesus was not saying, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are obnoxious, overbearing, or offensive. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who are persecuted for rudeness' sake. Some are rude or obnoxious in the way that they believe that they're trying to follow Jesus and suffer because of it. And they say, well, I'm being persecuted because I'm doing the right thing. And the point is, we can do something the wrong way. We can be the wrong kind of person and suffer for it. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. There were two elderly, excited Southern women who were sitting together in the front pew of the church building, listening to a fiery preacher. When the preacher condemned the sin of stealing, these two ladies cried out at the top of their lungs, amen, brother. When the preacher condemned the sin of lust, they yelled it again, preach it, brother. And when the preacher condemned the sin of lying, they yelled out, right on, brother, tell it like it is, amen. And then the preacher condemned the sin of gossip, and the two got very quiet. And one turned to the other and said, well, he's quit preaching and now he's meddling. Folks, sometimes the suffering that we experience is because we haven't been doing the right thing. Speaking of meddling, 1 Peter 4. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. You see what Peter is saying here? We can suffer for doing things that aren't right. And we might be quick to respond, well, I haven't murdered, I haven't stolen anything, I haven't done any outlandish evil deeds. Have we been a busybody? Or the NIV states it, have we been a meddler? And Peter says, don't allow your suffering to be that for doing the wrong thing. Sometimes our persecution, our suffering may be due to our own wrong choices. Sometimes our suffering is our own fault. So when we're suffering what we believe to be persecution, we need to examine ourselves and ask why. Is my suffering the consequence of some of wrong actions on my part? Or am I being persecuted for doing what's right? By the way, Peter goes on to say, if you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer for following Christ, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. What Jesus said is this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about being persecuted for being a child of God, for trying to live as the Father has directed. He went on to say, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. He's talking about persecution that comes as a result of following him and trying to be like him. And he's saying, if you suffer for doing that, then you're in good company. Then you should not be ashamed, that you should even count it a joy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Then Paul makes this statement, that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's honesty. If you're going to live for Jesus, you can expect it. It comes with it. Why is persecution inevitable for those who desire to live godly? Let's let Jesus answer that question. John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Why is persecution inevitable for those who desire to live for Jesus? Because people love darkness. They don't want their evil deeds to be illumined by the light. You see, one who sincerely seeks to follow Christ will often serve without even trying as a conscience to those who are trying to live or not trying to live righteous lives. One of my favorite examples of that is reportedly a true story. I hate it when I have to say that. About a professional golfer that was playing a round of golf with President Gerald Ford, Jack Nicklaus, another pro, and Billy Graham. And after the round was over, one of the other pros on the tour asked this professional golfer, what was it like playing with the president and with Billy Graham? And the pro said with disgust, I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat. And with that, he headed for the practice tee, and his friend followed, and that professional golfer pounded out his fury on a bucket of golf balls. And his friend asked him, well, was Billy a little rough on you out there? And the pro sighed and said with embarrassment, no, he didn't even mention religion. R.C. Sproul commented on this. Billy Graham had said nothing about God, Jesus, or religion, yet the pro stomped away after the game accusing Billy of trying to ram religion down his throat. What had happened? Simply this. The presence of the evangelist and what he stood for made this pro feel uncomfortable. Folks, when we're striving to live for Jesus, it's going to make those who are not striving to live for Jesus feel uncomfortable. And we may not even have to say a word. William Barclay says, inevitably, men will try to silence the troublesome voice of conscience. It's not the duty of the individual Christian habitually to find fault, to criticize, to condemn. And it may well be that his every action is a silent condemnation of the unchristian lives of others. And he will not escape their hatred. That's why it's inevitable that if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to make others feel uncomfortable. And you can expect some form of persecution. As I've studied this, I have to acknowledge this, and I'm sure you will readily agree. I don't believe any of us really knows what it means to be persecuted. I don't think we really understand what the early Christians went through, what the apostles went through. I read about the account of how Nero treated Christians, sewing up their bodies in animal skins, dipping them in oil, and then attaching them to a post to illuminate the games, set them on fire, losing property, being ostracized by your community, your business as a result failing. How many of us have had to go through that? Not to say it won't ever happen. And it may be that we're persecuted on some lower level, but here's what Jesus is saying, especially in light of these Beatitudes. He's been saying, here's what it means to live in the kingdom. But if you live like this, here's the warning. And he's being completely honest. You can expect backlash. You can expect people not to like you. You can expect people to treat you differently because you're striving to live for me. And it may look like this. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. In Luke's account, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Here are some types of persecution. I want to hurry through these. One is hatred. They'll hate you if you try to live for Jesus. They may feel rebuked by the life that you live. As we stated earlier, it's as if you've become a convicting conscience for those who are not trying to live the way God lives. And so when you're striving to do that, they'll hate you for it. You may be excluded. They shall separate you from their company. They exclude you. And again, many of the early Christians were ostracized from society. In fact, Jesus would say in his sheer honesty, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Wait a moment. Didn't Jesus come to bring peace? Yes. But he also acknowledges, if you accept my offer of salvation and you start living for me, it may not bring peace to your household. It may bring a sword. In homes where some obey the gospel, become Christians, and others refuse to, that's going to cause a lot of tension and trouble. Some, because they choose to follow Jesus, will be alienated by their own families. There may be insults when they revile you, when they insult you. They insulted Jesus, calling him a gluttonous man and a drunkard. The other said Jesus had a demon. And if they insulted our Lord, we shouldn't be surprised if we're insulted. And there's no sharper sword than the tongue. Despite the fact we've been told, and we often tell our children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I think it's a good statement to share, to realize the limitations of our words. But the truth of the matter is, words can cut deeply. Sticks and stones may break bones and bruise the skin, but words can break the heart and devastate the spirit. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we mustn't be surprised if we're insulted or slandered and misrepresented. They'll say all kinds of evil against you falsely. You remember false accusations being raised against our Lord? Don't be surprised if it happens to you if you're going to follow Jesus. When one tries to do what's right, it's not uncommon for others to misrepresent him. There's unrestrained persecution. That word persecute is used three times in these three verses. And it has the idea of pursuing. It refers to those who are harassed or hunted or spoiled or even destroyed. People are seeking them out to do them harm. Early Christians must have often felt like beasts being pursued by hunters. As their property was taken away, they were imprisoned, they were tortured, many of them killed. Even so, those who seek to live for Jesus mustn't be surprised if others are going to be against them. But I said all that to remind you what else Jesus said. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. That we can rejoice even in persecution. And then we look at the scriptures and we see the apostles are beaten and ordered not to speak in the name of Jesus. But then their response was this, Acts 5:41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They have joy even though they've been beaten, they've been flogged. But they're rejoicing because they've been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Jesus says we can rejoice in persecution. I want to highlight three reasons. Number one, because it's for a good cause. It's for righteousness' sake. It's for the sake of Christ. Wouldn't you rather suffer for doing the right thing than for doing the wrong thing? Number two, it puts us in good company. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted the apostles. They persecuted the early Christians. If we're persecuted for doing what's right, that puts us in some great company, doesn't it? But Jesus also says you'll receive good compensation. I'll put that in quotation marks. Standing for what he said, "For great is your reward in heaven." I'm wondering if Peter is kind of reeling from the persecution that he's been suffering. when he comes up to Jesus and he says, "See, we have left all and followed you." Thought about Dad's statement. Some are retired, some are just tired. I wonder if he's tired here. "We've left everything to follow you, Jesus." And it seems he seems to be asking in so many words, or asking Jesus, "Remind me now that it's going to be worth it." Listen to what Jesus says. "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands," notice, "with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Jesus is saying, it's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever you have to endure, whatever insults you have to endure, whatever persecution, form of persecution you have to endure for following me, number one, you can expect it. But number two, you can rest assured that it'll be worth it. After all, Jesus would say, "Look at what I did for you." When I say I don't believe any of us have really suffered persecution, I can say that with 100% confidence when I look at what Jesus endured. He endured insults. He endured people spitting on him, even as he's hanging on the cross. Not for crimes that he had committed. There was never a more beautiful life that had ever been lived, and there are people spitting on him, crying out, mocking him. He wasn't, again, it wasn't because he was a bad person. The greatest person who ever lived. But he endured it all so that you and I can be saved. And if by choosing to follow Jesus, somebody doesn't like me, or somebody even makes false accusations against me, or somebody makes my life miserable, I'm in good company. And Jesus has promised a great reward. So I'm not going to tell you this morning, because I don't have the authority to do so, that choosing to follow Jesus is going to make your life easy. You're going to be blessed abundantly, more than you could ever realize. But there may be some trouble that comes with it. No, there will be trouble, because Satan is going to be especially against you if you make that choice to follow Jesus. But I want to remind you that Jesus said it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. You're going to be blessed in this life with persecutions, but in the age to come, you'll have eternal life. All because of what Jesus endured for you and for me. If you want to make that choice this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of God, we hope and pray that you'll do that. If you need the prayers of the church for difficulty in your own life, if you need to be reminded that you have other soldiers that are in your corner and want to help, and that we're in this together and we're going to stand for Jesus, if you need to be reminded, if you need the prayers of the church to that end, please let that be known and come right now as we stand and sing.